AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. For a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown, Sleep Tight Stories.
R&B money. We up. Take Valentine. We are the authorities on all things R&B.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
Yeah, I feel like that. This is the R&B Money Podcast.
Yeah, take it down.
On all things R&B.
All things.
You know.
Soothing.
Soothing.
Yes.
You know, as of recently, you know, a lot of artists, a lot of creatives have adopted a vibe. You know, now they have a vibe.
Yeah, some of us are just the vibe.
You know, some of us have been
the
vibe for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
Very angelic on so many levels.
All levels.
Visually, mm-hmm. artistically.
Yes.
The gifts. I mean, they span countries.
Yes.
And she is not from this place.
The world, Craig.
Yeah. Normally I'm loud during this part, but you know, Jay just reminded me that this is a vibe episode.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're gonna stay right in here. Make some noise for Guapale.
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 I love that whisper intro.
Yeah, we got to set the mood.
You got the first whisper intro.
Eight candles in here. You have the only
whisper
intro.
But it still
had
the energy behind it.
Yeah, because they know what it is. When they see you, the camera, that's your camera. Give me Guapale. Where does Guapale come from?
Well, it's my grandmother's maiden name.
Wow.
And it's really pronounced Guapale.
Say it again.
Guapale.
Guapale.
You did excellent, but I would say since I was really little, it's been mispronounced in like 1,000 different ways. It's a South African name, so Guapale is how I've been saying it since, you know,
It's very
elementary
it's very
school.
Too, though. Into it's like, guap, guap.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. Guap. I love that. Yeah, it's whole, yeah, I love that when thing. That happens. Yeah, 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 you know what I mean? Like, guap had a good association. I was
you know, because
like,
what
okay,
she
I'll
was saying
it.
Is that the money come along okay, with the essence. You know what I'm saying? Y'all don't really know. Y'all don't
I
really
love
know.
I love it. I love it. I'm like,
guapele.
Yes, yes. Guapele. And it means go forward. And I don't know. It took me a minute to grow into it. And I feel like that's kind of how my music has been. It's never really fit in exact, like, genre. It's just, like, growing into what I am and, you know, hoping that people get it.
Well, people have had to play catch up on what you were doing. Because for me, my first time hearing you, the only person that I could even talk about in that space or, you know, put you kind of next to was Sade.
Yeah.
Well, I love hearing that. Thank
you. You know what I'm saying? And you know what that
well,
is. Like,
I love
like
her.
Those two energy, like that's,
yeah,
that was it. Now everybody's, you know, now everybody's picking vibe, the fruit of the vibe tree, yeah, which is great. You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
we want that. We want it yeah, to grow and become this thing. You know what
yeah,
I'm saying? But you know, I remember you being
yeah,
there a long,
yeah,
long time
I feel
ago,
like when I started, I was like, I was really nervous about the industry because I was like, it's not straight up R&B. It's not straight. I don't even know if soul, like neo soul was like just about to be mm-hmm, a category when I was recording. By the time I put out music, neo soul was a genre. But it's like I loved jazz and blues and everything in between. And I was like, I'm just going to write these songs and I'm going to start performing and we'll figure it out.
You loved you know, music.
Yeah. 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 No, and I loved hip hop, but I wasn't a rapper.
And,
so,
and it's a certain thing of obviously being from the home, from being from the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And just that melting pot of music.
For sure.
Of so many things. Like you said, there's jazz, there's hip hop, there's church, there's, mm-hmm, you know what I mean? There's Tony. You know what I mean?
Tony, like, Tony in Vogue.
In Vogue. Like they created.
Sly and the Family Stone.
It's just, when you start going and all of those artists that you just named and groups are all different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nothing the same.
Yeah.
So imagine, you know, you grow up in that. And like you said, in South African parent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you have a whole nother mindset of, you know, where your music can go and what it can be.
Yeah.
And just, and I think as much as, you know, they always regionalize us, you know that, mm-hmm, with the, you know, the whole Bay Area thing. We don't have a ceiling for ourselves, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'll just try music.
Yeah, and it's such like an indie vibe.
Yes.
And like,
because we're going to put it out. It's going to come out either in a trunk.
and that's how it started.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, pressing up 1,000 CDs and selling them at shows and out of the trunk and consignment at
yeah,
stores until it was like, we don't just want two, we want a box. And it was like, they're gonna buy a box of CDs?
Yeah.
Oh, more stores want them? We need real distribution, you know?
So you guys were going, you and your team, it was Skyblaze, right?
Yeah.
You guys were going from store to store.
Yeah.
Literally.
It was like Amoeba, Rasputin's.
Yeah. I remember Balance. Was Balance working at Rasputin's?
Yes, he was.
It was Rasputin's that he was at. So he was an artist, super talented guy too.
Yeah,
and he's now
a rapper.
He's like a script writer.
Oh wow!
I want to say he is one of the writers on like Blindspotting or something. Yeah, yeah.
That
like
makes
he's
sense.
He's doing his shit. But he used to actually be like the purchaser.
Yep.
At Rasputin's.
Yep.
But he was an artist, and he was like fully tapped into
yeah,
everything that was
get
going
us to
on.
Do
and
you live
like,
shows.
You're like, yo, you
got to
hit
signings.
Balance, selling, you know, some 100, 200 CDs over there, and they were moving yep, around their stores. So that was the cool thing about being from the Bay too, is that you could really there were places for you to be independent.
For sure.
But I didn't know y'all were. For me, I always thought y'all had some form of distribution. So initially, y'all didn't.
It took a minute, and I think, you know, we presented in that way
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
from the beginning and just wanted to have quality. Like, no one needed to know how small it was starting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But the idea was, like, if we build it and I can build a fan base that there'll be like a demand. So if I do a major deal, I won't be shelved or I won't have to prove myself. It won't be about the marketing. It'll be like people are already requesting something. Mm-hmm. Right. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So it could be more empowering. You know, and there's people like from Digital Underground. We knew Shock G and DJ Fuse and
legends.
You know what I mean? That had been just doing things in their own way and kind of mentoring from afar and just watching like how Too Short did it, how Lettucey did it,
yeah,
how Martin Luther did it,
yeah,
Hieroglyphics, how they did it. And we got distribution through them initially.
Oh, they were doing you guys distribution.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, through Red.
That's
yep.
crazy.
Yep. Because I was just doing these collaborations and it just naturally happened.
I remember meeting with a guy and and he had your CD on his desk.
Mm.
At this point, I had never heard of you yet. And I was kind of back and forth between LA and San Francisco. And this was before I started the whole City Boys music thing with Bailey. And we were just kind of, you know, I was taking meetings.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a meeting with the Italian gentleman who was doing some stuff in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, you know, this new girl, it's Guapole, right? And I'm like, hey, who's Guapole, right? And I'm like,
who?
The name sound cool.
Right, right.
And he's like, he was talking about kind of, you know, the numbers that you were doing.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
You know, how you were just... He was like, you got to go see her live and you got to see her perform. And I don't remember the first place I saw you perform, but I was just like, oh, this is different.
Yeah.
Like, this is different. And with me being a Bay Area kid and me growing up there, it was still different to me.
Mm.
I was like, oh, this feels like Berkeley.
Berkeley, Bay Area, Berkeley?
Yes.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
felt like Berkeley.
Yeah.
So Berkeley for us talk about is it. Like... Yeah, free, it's the free love. It's the you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Everybody's
like the flower hungry. Children.
The flower children. Yes,
yeah.
That's what it felt like, and if it made you smile.
Yeah. Mm.
Like when I heard your music, that's how it made me feel.
Mm.
And you know, you're from this same era too. We come from mob music.
Mm-hmm.
Very street.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The old E-40 days.
Yeah.
The
trunk rattlers.
The trunk, you know
and
what I'm saying?
See, I like, still like that in E-40 my production. In the
click. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Like, not just yes. E-40. There's an E-40 in the click.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
I didn't
yeah.
know those people don't know that. About.
Yeah.
E-40 in the click is mob music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So growing up in that, RBL Posse and Rapping Forte and San Quinn and you know what I'm saying? And JT the Big Figure and all these things. And then when I heard your music, I was like, yo, this shit makes me smile.
Mm.
Like, this feels really good. And that's what I've always attached personally to you and your music.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I see you, I'm always like, it's quiet.
It is sad.
You know what I mean?
That's
every
that's
time.
That's great. Because it's like, for me, music that I relate to, like, I want the bass lines and the drums to feel like you could hear it. You know what I
you
mean? From down the street.
Yeah,
want it to... But what I want to say and the energy I want to put out is I want a positive impact on the world. So it's like there's, you know, certain stuff I'm not going to say in my music, but I want the feeling to be a combination.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel like all those influences are in me. But I'm happy that it felt happy inside. And I was born in Oakland, but I grew up in Berkeley and Oakland. So
see, I didn't even know that.
In there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And that's what it felt like to me.
That's what it felt
like. Yeah, you go to Berkeley, you go get you, you know, a slice of Blondie's pizza.
Yeah,
You go see a little college girl out there. You be like,
let her know where you're from.
It's just nice out here.
So when did you know that you were, was Guapole always going to be your stage name? And when did you know that, okay.
Was you like Little Rashida at first?
Right, right.
Like?
What was going on? What was the younger Guapole doing? What was it? Was
you know what? I think when I was, I always like from a really young age, I'm going to say like from 8 years old, I felt like I wanted to be on the stage. And I would see like my parents' friends, like some of them were South African artists. I would watch, my parents would bring us to live shows, you know what I mean? It was all ages, but we might be the only, me and my sibling be the only kids in there, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if we're supposed to be here, but I was just picking up on the vibe. So I always felt like that's something I want to do. But I think I thought I was going to have an easier name. And I was like, I don't know. I was going to maybe be like Indigo or, you know what I mean? Something easy to say, but that would be vibey. And then I just started performing. And, you know, I was doing like singing at rallies and protests and community events and parties. And it was just like, this is me, this is my name. And it just, I just kept moving.
Yeah. When did you feel like you like really had something? Because probably coming up, you know, with the family, going to the shows and all those things, it was probably something that was normal.
Yeah,
we're just singing, having a good time. It is what it is.
My brother was a DJ.
I would
just like sing over a, you know, hot instrumental. And
when did you realize it was something? Or when did somebody tell you, no, this is, you need to take this serious. This is real.
I think inside of me, I felt it from when I was really young, but I didn't know if I would have any success, but I knew I had that vision for myself. Mm-hmm. And I think I was just doing it. Like it was, you know, I would go to like a lot of conferences and stuff like that. And I would just sing instead of talk because it was my comfort zone. And I liked the emotional connection. And I liked seeing that it could affect people and that they would feel something. But I don't know if I believed I would have success like in doing my own music. But in high school, I was like, I'm going to take this seriously. And like, I went to Berklee College of Music. It was like the only school I applied to.
Really? You went to Berklee?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't know that either.
For a hot minute.
Oh, you didn't finish. You got a
pioneer. I didn't finish. But I met some of the earliest collaborations. Like I went to school with Jeff Basker, who's like an amazing producer and songwriter. We did the first songs on my first album for school projects. I was like, you know what I mean? We only had to write like 16 bars, but I was like, I want to write a song. I'm here to write a song. So I'm about to like find these talented people at the school and be like, will you sit down with me? Because I couldn't play anything, but I was like, I could hum a little idea and I had a little idea and I was like, I don't want to do this just for the teachers. Yeah. And it's like, and I ended up using that later. I think Shaka Ramsey, I worked with there, Adam Dite, a bunch of really dope musicians.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot the beginning of the question because I started going off on
about you, you know, really seeing if this was a real thing for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, would it, or when you start feeling that for yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I think that doubt kind of creeps in and out. But I was going to make the steps, I feel like, from early on. And when I was starting to write music, like I was saying, I didn't know if there was a place for me, but I was just gonna do it anyways, you know? And I just feel like I've always tried to have my own measures of success because our else is just like so intimidating. It's like almost anything can feel like not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done anything else?
Besides independent, you mean?
No, I'm talking about like outside of music. Have you ever?
Yeah, like I've worked with kids. I used to work with kids a lot. When I was younger, I considered being like a childcare provider, teacher.
Yeah.
You could do that.
I love
cooking.
Yeah,
I can see that.
I used to.
Like, yeah, you want to be my new teacher, Warfley?
I was camp counselor.
Dad, you trying to come up to the school all the time. I'm just checking on my kid, make sure he's doing the right thing. How are you doing today?
Shaking her hand.
I brought also brought these flowers. I don't want this to come off weird.
Something organic.
Yeah, some organic.
You gotta bring something organic.
As a gesture for just, you know, teaching my kid the right way. You know, just really pouring into him the way we pour into each other. I don't know. Anyway.
No, I love that. And I was like, it's just, that's tiring work. Oh, no. Like, teachers need to get paid more money. I was
absolutely.
Like, oh, for sure. I am not going to be able to multitask working with kids and doing music.
Kids wear you out.
I was doing retail for a little bit. I was like working in restaurants. And honestly, I love all those things. But I think I would be sad if I wasn't also doing music.
Yeah, your music is the music is your calling. That's your purpose.
Yeah, and so all those little jobs, you know, when I was younger, it was just like when I can afford to quit, I will. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like thankful that I've had now like a long career in music. It's kind of crazy. Like,
when were you able to quit? When was that? Or what was that moment? Somebody said quit. I got
somebody said quit.
You know what happened? You know what happened? I was like, I was working retail and I think I was like nannying. And it was, I was starting to do like background stuff. I was performing with Spearhead and it was just like the scheduling was getting in the way.
Yeah.
And then like for shows, the scheduling was just getting in the way. So I was like, I can't prioritize this over this. So it just was kind of natural.
As it, I mean,
taking this apron off. No,
yeah, no, I mean, you just, you took the steps to where, like, I mean, Jake, me and Jay talk about this all the time. Like, you have to make sure you can take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Until it can take care of you.
No, that's real.
Yeah.
That's real. And I think sometimes people don't understand that concept. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some people,
you know,
just
what I
jump
mean?
In the ocean.
Yeah. It's like you it's can, tough. Like, starving artists, like, you don't really have to be starving though. Like,
you
can make sure you provide
right.
for yourself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Do your art until it takes over and then quit whatever else you were doing. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah, we've kind of become advocates for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Of, you know, taking care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you put yourself in a position where someone's taking care of you. Now it's more advantageous for them.
It might not, and you know it might not
like,
be for free.
Everything is
you know?
On everything is on their side. It,
it
not even might not be for free.
Yeah,
it ain't for free.
Yeah.
That shit adds
but it
up.
Seems like it is. I think to some people, and thank God
because they're promoting it that way.
Yeah, and like, thank God I was able to work like that. My family was like, "Let's do this."
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
shout out to your brother too. That's my guy.
Thank you. Yeah. Shout out to Namani and Theo. But I think it can be confusing when people are coming up because it takes putting in a lot of work until you start making cool money. Some people blow up overnight, but sometimes overnight is 10 years, you know?
For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Multiple deals or multiple, I thought I had a deal or I don't want to take a deal. Can you kind of give us, because your career has been based around your independence as well. Like you've done very well in the independent space. Like people look at you, they don't just look at you as an independent artist. So they just look at you as a major artist.
Yeah, they have no
it's
idea.
Never just like, oh yeah, no, well, she's doing, no. So you guys were able to build this thing up. Like, can you give us some of the, you know, like the background in that and just spending your own money.
Yeah.
You know, booking your own studios.
Yeah.
You know,
building our own studios.
Building
it, you know what I mean? Like with an advance, it's like we could have just gone to like the dopest, most expensive studios and been like, yeah, book it out for this month. Yeah, book it out for next month.
Yeah.
But for me, I was always like, cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. Like that's more debt for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? More recouping. What does this mean, recoup? And so we were like, let's take some of that money, build our own studio out, and then I can go as much as I want. I'm not on the clock. Like, I don't need that pressure.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of ownership. I like feeling empowered. I don't, you know, I like feeling like my own boss. So it's kind of like however that can work.
So were you doing your own hair and makeup?
Look, I'm still doing my own makeup except for like, look, for, you know, photo shoots and certain things. Mm-hmm. Thank God, you know, I know all these great people that can work with me, but I think because of how I started, I was always aware of like, there's a price to all of these things. Mm-hmm. And some of it is for sure worth paying for. But I know that on the back end, I'm going to have to give it back. So, like, right. if this is something I can do, you know what I mean?
I'm just doing it myself.
I'm going to do it myself.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Give us when that record first hits. And when I say that record, Closer.
Wow.
The song that you close your eyes to
And
imagine that everything is going to be all right.
To this day.
I've been in there.
To this day.
I remember after me and Guap met and got cool, she had invited me to a show. And what was the, it was at, it's a legendary venue in LA too. It's like off of Santa Monica.
Not the L Ray. Santa Monica.
It's next to that legendary steakhouse, Dan Tony's.
Troubadour.
Mm. I'm upstairs. Yeah. I'm upstairs at the Troubadour.
Troubadour. Yeah.
She comes on stage. She floats on stage.
She does.
Let's
float.
Just put that there.
She be floating.
She floats onto the stage.
Be
Everyone closes their eyes and looks up.
Yeah.
I don't know how that really makes sense.
I like that.
Close your eyes and look up. Yeah. Like if you're gonna look up, just
have your eyes open. Close your eyes, you do this. You do wander off into
the whole building.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Am I high?
Yeah, you are.
I don't do drugs. I don't do drugs. I'm not high. But I feel high.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Amazing feeling. So
Thank you.
Tell us when that record first cracked.
Or what was the process in cracking it?
Yeah, yeah. Because like, are y'all literally taking this record store to store?
Yeah. You know what? I was working with Amp Live from Zion I and Mike Tiger from the Bay Area. And that was just like the intro to the album, to my EP.
That was your interlude.
It was the intro.
You know, Tank's been having this whole interlude thing.
You never know, because those interludes,
I've been saying I have the greatest intros and interludes of all time.
Yeah. Closer.
I didn't know that was the
interlude. Closest interlude.
I didn't know.
Yeah. It's like, it's not the pressure of a song.
I got smoke.
You know?
I got a smoky one here.
I can't wait to hear your interludes.
Oh, you got, that's an interlude.
So that's where it started.
It was like I was pretty much done with the project, but this is like an EP. This is like no distribution. This is just like, these are the songs that represent me and I'm going to put them out into the world. And I have been working with Amp Live for a Zion I project. And, he was like, I think you're going to like this track. Like, this is a cool vibe. And as soon as I heard it, I just kind of heard a little something. Like, it's one of the only songs that it just felt like it was in the air. And I was like, I should go to his studio and just put down a basic idea. And then I can come back and, like, flesh it out. Because I'm, like, the queen of overthinking things. You know what I mean? Yes. Okay. And so it's one of the few songs that I've ever done that I just kind of was like, just record it, like without me thinking it too much. It was just kind of like this higher, like I know sometimes I feel like this, but it's just kind of this in-between space of like, I know I'm on my way. I'm not there yet. This is humbling. This is frustrating. It's not as good as I want it to be. Like, but I know that something is happening. And it just kind of captured that moment. And it was just kind of a freestyle. And I just did it a couple times. And it's like the least takes I've ever done. And I'll do takes on takes on takes.
Lord, you're a taker.
Yes. You're a taker.
Yes. And they're like, okay, stop. We're going to edit this now. Yeah. No. You're good. And I'm like, just one more. Just one more. And so it was not that, because it was just a feeling. And then we were like, we'll just start the project out this way because it's a vibe. And then it was on the B side of Childhood Drama, was like the first single that we gave to KML, and it was like My Emotion.
So the single was called Childhood Drama.
Childhood Drama.
Yeah, you weren't trying to get no record. You weren't trying to get no radio play.
Yeah, no.
You weren't trying to get no radio play.
I don't know what I was thinking. But it was over that Dolly My Baby.
Oh, yeah.
Beat, right? And we were into like the dance hall and all that. And so Closer was on the other side, just like to get a taste of the album. And that song, I don't know, people were just gravitating towards it more. And when we were giving people the project, they were just like, this, like, I really feel that. And then it ended up getting played on the radio.
So was there a DJ that identified the record early?
I would say My Motion.
My Motion.
My Motion was on it. Or that was like,
shout out to My
Motion. 2000 maybe, yeah. You know what I mean? And it ended up getting on radio, like different cities, different years. Oh, like talk about a slow burn and trust the process.
But that's also
like literally like 2004.
It being independent. It's not like you had a radio run. It's not like you had a, you know, radio
really.
Team.
Or not at that point.
Yeah.
Not at that point. And said, it would be like they do like the 7 at 7.
You said between 2000 and 2004?
I'm not playing. And because I then did a deal with Sony, or Skyblaze did a deal with Sony. Okay. And so then we put it, they wanted to put the song on the album again. And I was like, oh, that song is old, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But I just was like, okay, if this is like the only thing that I'm leaning on, just put it on there. And thank God, because some people would never hear my first album. And, you know, the second album,
because the first album was even support. Closer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And so some people are like, I've been rocking with you since the beginning, 2005, when you first put out that song. And I'm like,
you really put it out.
You know what I mean? But I'll take it, and I love it, and I appreciate it. And then people have, like, you know, remixed it. And so people come to it however they do. But it really was like, I don't know, a phenomenon that I didn't imagine.
And right. It's still going. Like, it's like that record is still new to certain people.
Yeah.
Like, and it's one of those records, it doesn't get old.
It doesn't get old. Mm. It's like the Meek Mill intro.
It's
the Army version of the Meek Mill intro.
And, that and, it, going and it's a nowhere. Great representation of when someone wants to play a Bay Area R&B record. You're the first choice. That is the first choice for the Bay Area R&B record. You're going to play Closer.
I never even associated that with like I mean, now that we're having this conversation and feeling the vibes from it.
Yeah.
But,
you know, from somebody who was in DC and then got hit and came
DC
here.
DC was a big supporter too.
Oh, absolutely. No, you're tailor made.
I love
DC. You're tailor made for DC.
And they supported so much live music. Like I feel like
we had a lot of like live, like Blues Alley and those type of things where people could come and those 300 people, it was like, you could,
the Birchmere.
The Birchmere is,
they food is fire too.
What?
I ain't gonna front. The food is fire.
Birchmere. Look, where the Birchmere at? Yeah. Oh, I used to have a time at the Birchmere.
Yep.
Man, you took me back.
Yeah. That's a cool spot.
Yeah, because it's fun and live, and I always worked with live musicians since the beginning, and really,
so you always had a band from the start.
In the very, very start, like before my album came out, it would just be like me and DJs, and I'm just performing over instrumentals.
Okay,
you know what I mean? I do like my own version over, you know, Noriega over.
Very hip hop records.
Yes, maybe dance hall, but mostly hip hop records. And so it could be like, it'll just fit in the party. Like, get on, you want to get on right now? Yep. And then when I started writing music, it was super live. Some of it was like straight up live and some of it was over tracks. But I wanted to have, you know, probably from going to Berklee in Boston, I really wanted to have live musicians. And thankfully, like I got to work with some really dope people. And I also was someone that, like, even though I love dancing, I don't know, my music isn't really like the dance, you know, like something you would dance to necessarily. So I was like, that part of the show, you know what I mean? And I didn't have a fan and all of that. So it was kind of like, I need something dynamic.
Yeah.
So yeah. And then sometimes it'll be like DJ and a live musician or whatever, but.
So you can dance.
I like both. I can dance for, you know, for fun.
For fun. Because, you know, he wants to dance.
Because I can dance.
Because I can dance.
And, you know, we should be able to dance if we feel like it.
Yeah, for sure.
I just want to be a vibe.
If you want to do some vibey dance to Closer, I would
respect
that.
See, but it's
that.
Like the thing is, like, all my stuff, what I gravitate to sing to, it's like, it's going to be slower. It's going to be backbeat. No, it's not going to be the same stuff that I'm like driving around dancing to. You know what I mean?
No, but I'm saying I would respect it. I wouldn't mind.
If I broke into a little something.
I wouldn't. It wouldn't bother me.
Eyes closed.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He wouldn't be mad.
Getting off his damn dance on CD. I knew that shit was coming. Off of that, as an indie artist, when Closer breaks for you, what is the process of now these labels coming?
Yeah.
Did y'all have a full like bidding war going? Or were you guys just on some, you know what, we're not taking none of these meetings, we're not doing
that shit? I was taking all the meetings.
You took all the meetings too?
Yeah.
Yes.
What they saying?
I'm taking all the meetings because it's like the more you take, the better the option of like, well, this person is offering this. So what are you offering? I'll come to New York and have a meeting. Yep. LA, like, I was down to meet with everybody because I just wanted the best option. I wanted to feel at home. I wanted to feel like I wouldn't have to compromise. I wanted to feel like, I don't know, like they believe in me and they trust what I'm doing. And really, it's just like faith and luck, you know. You
so
never
what made
really
you,
know.
What made you decide on going to Sony? Was it the bag? Or was it the...
No, I don't... I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know exactly. Like, the people that I was meeting with were nice. What was it over some of the other labels? I'm not exactly sure, to be honest. I think they were still going to, like, let us do our own thing.
You had your freedom still.
Yeah.
And that's a big part when somebody makes that investment in you. You lose freedom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You do lose freedom.
Yeah.
Because now you're playing with somebody else's money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I get that. And were you guys able to have that freedom once the project came out?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because, like I said, we were like, okay, let's get all this equipment, you know what I mean? Like, for our studio and build headquarters and, like, and continue to build it out. And I had an A&R that I feel like was so open. He wasn't controlling. And I was willing to put, I had the drive, you know what I mean? So it wasn't like someone had to be like, come on, you know what I mean? Get in there. So it was just like, we're just going to keep doing things as we have been, you know, but like with some more support.
So that process for you, if you could go back on it, would you go and do a major deal again? Or like looking at it, because, you know, like we've talked about it, you've been an independent artist, you've done a major deal.
Yeah.
When you look at the, you know, the landscape, and if there's a, you know, a young artist watching this.
Yeah.
And how you've gone about it. What were the positives and the negatives in that space?
I don't feel like looking back, I don't have much regret. I think that I would still do it for the most part the same because there was more exposure, you know, and just like a way bigger team, you know, working with a major. It wasn't a trade-in. It was kind of a partnership. So it was different for me than maybe it would be for an artist singly going in.
Yeah.
And, so that,
and I think that
like
partnership
was
based on you already
having success.
Having success.
Yeah.
And
like,
working
and there was still Skyblaze. So there was still like a unit around me that was helping regardless, you know, of Sony. But of course, we didn't have the money that Sony had. You know, like there was some radio support and some tour support and all of those things that just seemed natural. That when I went back to being independent, I was like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? It can be humbling sometimes, you know, not having all of those extra things, you know, and that those extra
radio resources.
Man, I'm saying, because it's just like things just happen and it's just like, oh, this is just how it is. Yeah, like when your song starts getting played more, you just have all these things, you know. Yeah,
you think it's just the record.
Right.
Yeah. It's not and just there's the like shout doors out to the that radio open, department. You know what I mean? Like people are opening those doors, you know. So I recognize all of that. So I think I wouldn't do that different. I think if anything, like in my career that I regret is like not collaborating more, like that kind of stuff used to just make me nervous. And
so people that you might have,
you might still to this day own a, like
you might owe somebody a feature. She was just nervous, guys. She didn't.
Honestly, and I think it probably comes off like, I don't know how it comes off. But I know that, like, I've gotten some amazing tracks from people that I was fans of, like, big producers that I was fans of. But I just, it was hard to rise to the occasion sometimes, you know, or different artists that I could have worked with that I was just like, I just don't feel like I have the right thing for this.
Victoria's Secret commercial.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about that because I love Victoria's Secret.
That's where the ladies
and that
be
was like
now.
One of the that was that's like one of the goals. Yeah, Play made it into that.
Wow,
this song I did that I felt like that was perfect. I hope that happens again.
I got love edited out of that video. Secret.
You were in the video.
I was there. I did.
What you mean? Talk about it. Did you edit Jay out?
Wait a second.
Is that where this is going? He been waiting all day.
Oh my!
He been waiting all.
That was a nice lie, bro.
He been waiting all day.
I didn't bring it up. I didn't bring it up.
You edit.
I was at the video shoot. Mm-hmm. I was there. You know, and I'll probably send Jacob a picture of me and Guapole at the video
shoot.
I'm not in the video.
You didn't make the video.
I wasn't in the video though.
Wow.
You know,
this is like selective memory.
Shit happens. You know,
Guap, you went to the editing bay.
It's all good. It's all
good. Took my man.
Absolutely
in.
Not.
Took, you know what I mean?
Took my man. Absolutely
not. Just move. Just slide over just a little bit. There we go. That's the shot we need. That's the shot we need right there.
Oh, my God. And see, like, what if you had a grudge on me forever and took it in a certain kind of way?
And waited until the Army Money Podcast
to
bring it up. I've been wanting to talk to you, you know, about some shit that went down.
Listen. You know,
that is great.
What was that about?
No. And listen, and it wasn't like I was the interest in the video.
I was going to make a cameo.
I was just making a cameo.
And then the director?
Keisha Cole kept him in the video.
Keisha Cole kept him in his video.
I'm just saying. Keisha Cole kept it in.
Made me a full video.
Maybe it was going to make the plot line confusing. The director was like, this is too distracting. We can't have all of this.
Get that nigga up out of here.
Oh my goodness.
I don't remember who the director was.
That's great.
When I catch your ass.
Oh, when I catch your ass. Edit me out of it.
Because now I know it wasn't Guapole.
Yeah.
Who didn't want me in her video. It's her video, okay?
Never that.
What is right now?
What is right now?
Yeah.
Well, I'm finally about to put out a new project. And thank you. I didn't realize it had been so long.
What do you do, like,
so
every
long.
5 years? What's the number?
Maybe.
Why?
Maybe.
It maybe why? Has turned. It's not been on purpose. I think, I don't know, I like to marinate. I want to have something to write about. Mm-hmm. I want to have something to say.
You live a little bit.
I want to be inspired.
Very Sade-ish. That's what she makes us wait.
Just
let them wait.
Let them wait.
And it's going to be a lot of feeling, right?
No, it is. Yeah. I know it's going to be right when it...
Yeah.
But I do sometimes wish I worked faster. It's a goal. But... I don't know.
I mean, listen.
This is how it's been so far.
Listen, you're
here.
So
I'm here.
Apparently, what you're doing and the way you're doing it, It's working.
It's working in some kind of way. Yeah. So
I had a dream about this too.
You did?
Yeah. I don't call it deja vu. I call it confirmation.
Like, okay.
This, tell me. This has happened. It's happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I told you I had a dream about it.
And then I told you I had a dream about it.
Like, I like that when that happens.
That's great. Because
it feels like you're in the right place at the right time, right?
Yeah.
So I started writing these songs like during the pandemic because I had nothing but time on my hands and sitting still and no distraction. And it didn't happen right away. But after like a couple months, it was like, oh, I get it. It's going to be a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have that many Zoom meetings, so I should be doing something. And, you know, like recording on my own, like relearning how to use Pro Tools and Logic.
Yeah, that's how I was too.
Excuse me, I'm stuck.
I can't do it. Ruben, come on, man. You gotta. He said, but bro, the COVID doesn't mean, come on over here, man. I'll stay by the microphone. You stay by the
You
computer.
Don't need a mask.
We'll be fine. At some point, Ruben just said, bro, I can't do it. I can't do it. You see what's going on?
That.
I'm not coming over. That's, fuck.
You probably had parties over there too. You were like, I need the vibe.
No, I wasn't. No, it was just me. It would literally be me and Ruben. After we did the second EP, he said, I'm done, Tank. I'm done with this. I'll be back when it's safe.
You did two projects?
I'm going back to the mountains.
I'll be back when it's safe.
He's showing up. You did two projects.
Two EPs, yeah.
Golly.
It was just, you know, piano and vocal. It was super easy.
Wow. You know how I do.
Is that where you're going?
Is that where you're going?
Right to the piano.
Okay.
Really?
It took me a little longer than it took you. You know, but it let me just like really have my guard down and just really think about what I want to say and just really be in the moment and work with different musicians to like build songs up. I would sit with Errol Cooney, who I've been working with, guitar player for years, and Bedrock would send me tracks and Mike Tiger and all these people. And it got to be a slow, unrushed process that I could feel like, okay, I'm done with this. I'm at peace. I feel like I got to say everything I want
to
say.
I'd like to send you some tracks. Are you're done?
Please. I love that. Please send me some stuff.
Okay. Okay. I'm excited.
I want the melodies too.
Yeah.
So are you almost done with the project now?
Yes, I'm done with this project.
A name for it? Or are you going to wait to surprise everybody? Colors.
Mm-hmm, because I just want to get more into the sensory world. I'm like one of those synesthetic people. I don't know if you guys heard it. You know where you're...
Exactly.
I
don't even know what that word is.
It's like where your
I just learned something
senses...
new.
I didn't know there was a name for it.
It's okay. Like, you know, your sound bathing.
You don't know.
You're sound bathing. You're doing, I know
I
what's going
sound
on.
Bathing.
I know what's going on.
He can
brother.
Make anything sound good. It's like where your senses mix together. So when you hear music, you see it in a certain way, and it's like certain colors and certain.
Oh, okay.
And so I just want to express that more with this album.
So is it like colors or colors? Or what, you know, nigga throw you in there or something.
Or guapo.
It's just colors.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess. The 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again. The First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances. And the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Use your talents, man.
Use my talents, man. I just don't want to just be all chest. I want to. You know, you've been doing this music thing for quite some time.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are people who've inspired you, and their gifts have magnificent your own thing. And so from there, I think you can probably give us a top five. Yeah. Your top five. Top five. Your top five. R&B singers. R&B songs. Grab the lace top, grab the lace pulse, top the high, yes, grab the yes, your top five.
Apple is top five.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Here all week.
Did you clap for yourself?
A little bit. A little bit. A little bit. A little bit. There was a void. Needed one more hand. Guapale, wow. Your top five R&B singers. Mm. I can't wait to hear this. I'm excited. Okay.
My genres are going to be a little...
Yeah, yeah,
no, do no, your
I,
thing.
That's what I expect. That's what I expect.
Okay. But there's always R&B in it,
you
got to
explain that.
Okay, okay.
It's your world.
So I would say Stevie Wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Prince.
Mm-hmm.
I would say... I'm going to put D'Angelo in there.
Why wouldn't you?
Hell yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
And I'm going to put Anita Baker and Babyface in there.
Come on. Come on. That sound like a tour.
That sound like a tour, don't it? I go see it.
Me too.
Ooh.
I'm staying in the crowd, though. I ain't going backstage.
You ain't going backstage?
Too much heat.
That's a great top five.
That is an amazing top five.
Really so much more, but.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that fits you.
Right.
Okay.
Now. Right now, that's the five.
Top five R&B songs.
I would say Adore, Prince, Joy Inside My Tears, Stevie Wonder.
Wow. You're going there.
Oh, yeah, she's digging.
I know. I like the sad stuff. But I'm like, what would I never want to fast forward through?
Mm-hmm.
I would say Angel, Anita Baker.
Oof.
I would say, right? So beautiful. Every time. Let It Burn, Jasmine Sullivan. One More Again, D'Angelo.
One More Again. I was a D'Angelo fanatic.
Yeah.
You're making an R&B Voltron.
Okay.
Super artists. You got to get the vocals from somebody, the performance style from somebody, the styling from somebody, and the passion of the artist, the heart of it. Who are you getting the vocal from?
Wait, when you say styling.
The drip. We're getting to it.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
Who are you getting the vocal from to build your perfect artist? That one vocal.
Maybe Jasmine Sullivan. I think her voice is so beautiful.
She get on my nerves.
No flaws in her voice.
Yeah.
Nothing.
None.
Performance style. You can get that from.
Performance style. How do I interpret that?
On stage. How they, you know, what they do on stage.
Mm-hmm. I'll say Rihanna.
Mm-hmm. Styling. The drip of the artist.
Oh, see, maybe I...
Do you switch? Do your thing. Do your
okay.
thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, I want to put her there.
You want to put her in the styling space?
The performance. I'm going to have to come back to that one. I would say, because I don't want to. Can I come back to the performance one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure will. Okay, so in the drip, you want to go Rihanna?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Well, now let's go back to the performer.
No, I want to go to the other
you
one.
You want to go to the other finger? She's pointing at my finger.
Yeah. I'm trying to keep track.
Go to your index finger. That's where I want
to. Go to your thumb.
That's where I want to. Go to your thumb. That's where I want to be.
I'm trying to keep up.
Okay.
And then I need to keep up.
You're great. The heart of the artist. The passion of the artist.
Prince.
Can't argue that.
Yeah.
Just arguing that.
But see, maybe he's performance.
Maybe he's both.
Probably one.
He's all. Yeah, he could be
he's both.
Okay, so which one? Let's go back to the performer. Mm-hmm.
No, I would put him. I would say for the heart.
Okay.
Like the passion.
Mm-hmm.
I would put Sade in there in one of those.
At the performance.
But see, I like the passion of Prince's performance, but I like some of her delivery.
So it's like a. Prince Sade performer with Prince Passion Or yes. Prince and Shadi yes. Fashion?
With Rihanna's clothes.
Hmm?
With Rihanna's clothes on.
With Rihanna's clothes on.
And Jasmine
Sullivan's voice.
I'm rolling. Right. I'm rolling.
Okay.
What else you got over here on your piano? We got one very special segment before we let you up out of here. Okay. Don't dance too fast because you might, you might get nervous. We don't want you to get nervous.
I ain't saying no names. Who you was, who you was with, what y'all did. Don't say shit. I ain't saying no names.
Oh my God. I want to do a TV show and have you do the jingle. He's definitely the jingle man.
He's definitely the jingle man.
I'm the jingle man.
So, Jay, very important part of the show.
Yes.
Segment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's called I Ain't Saying No Names.
None.
Oh, yeah. You know, you might need another water.
I might need a new water.
New water.
Yeah. Because this segment is about the travels, the journey of Guapale. And some shit you might have seen, some shit you might have experienced.
Mm-hmm.
You tell us a story, funny or fucked up, or funny and fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
The only rule is you can't say no names.
Okay.
No. Mm-hmm.
Will you guys tell me yours later? The people on the net.
I feel like this is like, if I show you guys my diary.
Okay. Do I get to see
I can't be by myself.
I got some funny ass stories. I definitely have some funny ass stories.
I think I got one.
Okay. So right now, we are going into Guapale.
Yeah.
All the way from the Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't saying no names.
There was, I would say this is like a... early on, maybe this is like early 2000s. And I was probably just starting a tour. And I got invited to do a show in Selma, Alabama for Bloody Sunday. It was like they redo the march across the bridge,
yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. Like,
I've been there.
Community festival.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it was probably, you know, balling on a budget. We probably had like a red eye, had to get ready like at the spot because it was like an early show and all of this stuff. And I just remember getting ready. I remember it was hella hot and it was like a good size crowd out there, you know, but people were hot. And we might have been running, like, we weren't running behind schedule, but the thing was running a little bit behind schedule. And so I remember the organizer came back and they were like, is it cool? Like, if you're not in too much of a rush, we might have to switch things around a little bit. There's this brother that has to catch a flight. And so, you know, is it okay if he goes on before you? And blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, okay, you know, like, of course I'll roll with it. And sometimes it can be nice. You're moving up in the order.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, even though I was ready to go, but maybe, you know, this is a better look. And they didn't tell me who the person was. And then said artist, you know, gets announced and it was a really warm reception. You know, it's mainly women in the audience. And this artist is killing it, proceeds to take off their shirt, all greased up, work the crowd, get into the audience. I'm telling you, it was like the show was coming to an ending. And I was like, what the, what type of shit is this? You know what I mean? Like, what are we about to do? And we're just watching this amazing artist.
Yeah.
And then I had to go on after that. You know what I mean? And I just felt like I couldn't rush to closer soon enough. You know what I mean? I felt like, I gotta kill this. I gotta, because you don't want the energy to go down.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And like, you know what I mean? When I met you later, I thought you were kind of familiar. I thought you were kind of familiar.
You asshole.
But no, I mean,
it makes it great because when you were saying it, and you're like, I've been out there.
That sounds like me.
I've been there before.
This is an amazing. I ain't saying your name.
You know, this brother, if you don't mind, he's just going to go before you because he needs to catch a flight. And we're like, okay.
Oh, this is great.
What?
As you started telling the story, I'm like.
That sounds familiar. Killing it? Yes. Shirt off?
No,
yes.
Even before you got there, I was like.
Selma.
I was like, I've been there. And I wanted to remember that we were on the show. Because we've been on so many shows together.
You were gone by the time I got on stage. So you wouldn't have remembered my part.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. It was very memorable. It was very memorable. I was like, I need the details when they switch up these lineups next time.
Make sure it's not a nigga who gonna take his shirt off.
Okay. Oiled up in the sun.
I was definitely oiled up in the sun.
Walking through the crowd. He was serenading everybody individually. Oh my God.
He was serenading everybody individually. Yeah,
You
can touch this.
This is great.
That might be the greatest of all times.
Yes. I think about that every time
that
I see you.
That is.
So this has been.
You never told me that.
Guapalays, I ain't saying your name. As I tell you the story to you.
It sounds familiar.
I just started crying because I was like, I know where this is going now. I had to go. I had to go.
It was a good show, though. It was a good show.
You want to thank her for that?
Thank you for that. Yeah.
Not miss your flight.
Not miss my flight. You were awesome. You were awesome for that.
You were awesome, even though it was painful at the time.
We'll do another show.
But I was like, man, okay, be ready. Put your game face on. Get out there and do not disappoint after this man just left the stage. Like, with, they were kind of just like, okay. But
you knew this was coming.
It's how it goes.
You
didn't know.
He's at it.
But that's also part of being a professional.
Yeah.
In this business.
Yeah.
Those type of things happen
all the time.
Yeah.
And you were just gracious enough, but sometimes artists are just like, no.
No chance.
No.
Jaheim said no.
You said Jaheim said no?
Jaheim said no.
See, because they probably said your name.
No, after I performed, I got back to the spot. I was like, man, you're supposed to be on stage right now. No, you can have a champ. That's all you, baby. I was like, what? It's your turn.
It's your turn.
I heard that.
He said, I ain't on that tonight.
I
said, all right, okay.
But see, you're right. It's such a roller coaster in this industry. And it's like, you can't burn bridges. You can't get too comfortable being treated a certain way. Or even in humbling situations, you might have the next day or the next moment be this like amazing moment, or you never know who's going to be there that's going to, you know.
It's never
that
the same
you
thing.
Touch, you just never know. And you got to just rock with it and try and have the best attitude possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like the circles come back around, right? If you're lucky to be in it long enough.
Yeah. Great Guapalay.
I remember we go back too. No, I don't have no crazy story though.
I was like, get him. Get his ass.
No, I ain't doing that shit. I don't got no Selma moment. I don't have no Selma moment. I actually got kicked out of the video. Okay.
That's true. That's true.
But
that's
you would true. Make all the dopest remixes, right?
I was known for stealing people's records.
But that was
But I wasn't making money off of them.
But you know what? But I was you like Jacquees before Jacquees.
Jacquees before Jacquees.
But you were still building your brand.
For me,
so
I
it's
was
like you're making money
I was having
doing
fun.
Shows yeah. because we're all loving the yeah. music. You I was know like, what I mean?
But ultimately, the funny thing is, I didn't do a lot of shows.
Mm.
So I really wasn't making. I was
just getting played on the radio.
I was getting paid, but I wasn't, I also wasn't submitting the songs as my record. So I never got in the way of anybody else's publishing.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
So for those songs, smart. Which it just wasn't, it wasn't my thing, you know?
Yeah.
I was purely doing it to have fun and like, oh, yeah. this would sound dope. More so than, oh, I'm going to use this record to try to become big off of somebody's record. I was just like, no.
But you were doing, and that's like kind of how we came up too.
Yeah.
It's kind of yeah. just like had a rock doing our party versions. As a
doing
vocalist.
Our versions.
Because mm-hmm. right. it's like a bunch of rappers.
Yep.
Basically. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how can you keep the vibe high, but do right. your version? You know, like Dom Sprung and all that. You know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah.
All of those. And like, I was just doing this show. Me and Dougie Fresh were on it the other day. And he was afterwards just talking about like the importance of rocking a crowd. He was like, whether it's your music or a cover or whatever, it's about like when we do live shows, it's about the energy of the crowd.
Right.
You know what I mean? And lifting that up more than us trying to. Being you know, a, do a, whatever. Yeah. So, like, we loved all those songs.
You know, I was just trying to have a good time, man.
You were having a good time.
Trying not to get sued and shit. Yeah.
Have a good time. I feel you.
I feel you.
I feel you.
He's back now. Now he's going to put out his own songs.
Yeah, now, you know. And somebody can steal my records.
About damn
and I'm
time.
Fine with it.
Right?
I'm not sending nobody a cease and desist. Have fun.
Rock
man.
Out.
Have fun.
I feel
rock
you.
Out.
Yeah.
Keep the music time. Going. Yeah. Keep the energy going. The yeah. more the better.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. This shit gonna yeah. live on one yep. way or another.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Or you hope that it does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Guapole, thank you.
Thank yeah. you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely.
I honestly, like, yeah. I love your guys' show. I love you guys individually and just what you've done in the different ways. And I remember, like, even you doing I Can't Make You Love Me, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And putting your own twist on that. And mm-hmm. I remember you hosting some stuff some years ago. And I was like, he has a knack for this. I hope he does more of it,
well,
you know?
Hosting, yeah,
and I
yeah.
just love seeing you transition in all the different ways that you have. And then like you're putting out music again too. It's just like, I appreciate the evolution.
Time. It's time. Yeah.
Yeah.
The evolution.
Yeah. yeah.
I like that word.
Yeah.
I'm not retiring. I'm evolving. There's that.
Look.
Well, we appreciate you. Your family. You are always welcome.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? We are at your disposal. Whatever you need, I'll be sending you tracks for colors.
Mm. All right.
I'm very excited about that. Where I get to just be creative.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And have some fun with my sounds and paint and use yeah. all of my colors. That's yes. gonna be. That's gonna be dope. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
And this has been the R&B Money Podcast, the authority on all things R&B, where the vibe has been existential.
Yeah.
It has been heavenly. It is.
We have a goddess amongst us.
A goddess amongst us. And we have been so blessed to be here today with her, Guapole.
Now get you off her, guys.
Get you off her.
Get you off her.
Thank you, guys.
R&B Money.
R&B Money is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Don't forget to subscribe to and rate our show. And you can connect with us on social media at Jay Valentine and at The Real Tank. For the extended episode, subscribe to youtube.com/R&B Money.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations, prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late-night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.